The following interview was conducted with Robert Parsons as part of Wollongong City Council Library's Illawarra Stories Oral History Project. It took place at Uniting Care at Unanderra on the 11th of February 2019, and the interviewer is Joe Oliver. Well, thank you so much, Robert, for being willing to share your story with us. Could you tell us about how you first came to the area, to the Illawarra?
Well, I was a typewriter mechanic for Dobell Proprietary Limited, the makers of Imperial typewriters. They opened a place down near Circular Quay, Reby Place, and I was in an old building there, and you got a lift up to the fourth floor. And that's where I started on typewriters and calculators. Most people who use the typewriter will know the top row of letters, Q-W-E-R-T-Y-U-O-P. And you can make a sentence out of that. And the sentence is, the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog's back. So look it up and you'll find I'm right. Yes, each one of the letters you used to have to solder on thing. It was a very demanding, slow job. It met a lot of interesting people.
And you were single when you were doing that job in Sydney, were you?
Yes, I was single.
How old would you have been when you learnt trade?
Well, I became an apprentice typewriter mechanic when I was 15 years of age. And it was a 5-year indentured apprenticeship. In those days, you could get a university degree in 5 years. But I enjoyed life and I enjoyed singing. And when I moved to Corrimal, East Corrimal, 14 Aldridge Avenue, East Corrimal. My son Rodney lives up the other end of the street.
So how did you come to this area though? You were a typewriter mechanic, and what brought you to East Corrimal? Was there a job down here?
Or? That's a good question. I came down as a typewriter mechanic at Dobell Proprietary Limited, opened a shop at Port Kembla. Typewriter mechanics were in big demand, and you could name your own price, you know, for repair and things. I joined the Lamplighters theatrical group, played the part of a Japanese pirate in the Mikado, and I've had an interesting life. I've got a wonderful family.
And you lived in East Corrimal. Can you tell me about the house you lived in there?
Yeah, still there, 14 Aldridge Avenue, East Corrimal.
Right.
And we had our own, I had a little Ford Prefect car, and we had our own cow, Molly, a Jersey cow. I bought her from a dairy farm in Coniston and walked her home from Coniston. After the first day's walk, I was absolutely exhausted, so I tied her up in the bush there on Squire's Way. When I came back the next morning to get her, she was gone. And so I was talking to some young fellows, and they said, oh, the Elliots, we saw Elliots with your cow. And they took her and tied her up further up in the bush, but I found her.
So you got the cow back again?
Yes.
And did you just graze it in your backyard, or did you have a bit more?
Yes, I used to take her and tie her up along the street on the footpaths. But people got annoyed because she used to lean over the front fence and chew the roses and flowers.
And did you know how to milk a cow?
Yes.
You already knew that?
Mm.
Yes. So you'd milk it every day,
twice a day. And I taught my wife to milk it. And then Molly didn't like my wife. She lifted her foot up and put it in the bucket of milk.
Oh, no.
So I banned her from doing it there.
And what would you do with all that milk? Would your family use all the milk?
Yes, and I used to sell it up and down the street. Because the milkman used to come down in the milk cart, the horse and buggy, and two taps on the back. The milk wasn't pasteurised. So, form cream on the top. Yes, Molly the cow. Oh, yes, and you know, street ice cream?
Yes, yes.
Well, he used to live with his squirrel mum. I used to tie her up down near the creek. And yeah, this Mr. Street had a beautiful garden with cabbages and plants and everything. And because everybody knew me and the cow, just down on the corner, I used to sell newspapers, the car going past.
Right.
And so anyhow, there was a knock on the door. Mr. Street was there and he said, "Tell that bloody husband of yours to get himself down here and see the damage. It's going to cost him a lot of money." Betty was about 8 months pregnant, built like the side of a house out the front of her. So I'm not going down there to be abused by him. I'll drive you down the car and you go in and see him. Got out the car and knocked on the door. And he opened the door and, of course, he looked like the side of a house standing sideways. "I'm Mrs. Parsons, Robert Parsons' husband. Where's that so-and-so husband of yours?" And he's abused.
Had you got the cow back?
Yeah, I got the cow back.
And were Streets making, were they making ice cream there at the time?
No, they made it at up in Coromel.
Right.
Just opposite, not far from the library in Short Street.
Mm-hmm. And would you make butter out of the milk as well, or cream or anything?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Must have been wonderful for your children to have all that fresh milk. And what other things would the family do when you lived there? Did you go to the beach or...?
Yes, well, yeah. The beach was just down the end of Aldridge Avenue. We lived at number 14. You got to know all the people, and I used to deliver and give people cream. The Jersey cow produced a lot of cream on the milk. It was nearly a third of the milk.
You ran the surf club?
Yeah. Well, before I moved down to East Cromwell, I was in the North Bondi Surf Club.
Nice.
When I was an apprentice typewriter mechanic working for Dobell Proprietary Limited in Sydney. I started smoking when I was about 14 and gave up when I was 16. In the surf club, you had to swim out with the boys and do your swim every year, and you had to do the swim in a certain amount of time. If you failed three times, you got kicked out of the club. So I failed the first two times, so then I gave up smoking, and then I went from strength to strength.
So you're a very fit young man, and that was unusual, really, to be such a good swimmer at that time, wasn't it? A lot of people couldn't swim. So did you have to rescue anyone at East Coromel?
No, at North Bondi I did.
Yes.
At the surf club there. On the southern end of Bondi Beach, it was the very rough seas. So I did a couple of rescues.
And I can see some pictures here of your family at the beach. So how many children did you and Betty have?
Six children. Three boys and three girls. I planned it that way.
Well done. And it looks like you had a bit of a garden. Did you grow vegetables?
Yes, I was a very keen gardener. Mm-hmm. I grew everything.
What sort of things would you grow?
I even grew peanuts. They grow underground. Oh, turnips and everything. No, the soil was pretty good. I did improve it. I used to go up to Zimz's abattoir. Zimz's is the butcher on the Princess Highway. And the abattoirs and keep a lot of cows there, so I used to go up and get the manure from there. And then when my cow came into season, she started bellowing. The bulls could hear her up at Zimz's paddock. I was advised to take her up there and see Mr. Zimz and get my cow serviced. Yeah, to tie her on the back and she'd trot alongside. My wind driver's window down and her head was just level with me. And we go across the railway crossing. The gateman there was absolutely amazed. And straight up Railway Street to where the hotel's on the corner of Princess Highway there, turn left. And people were just, you could see their eyes popping out of their heads.
Yeah. Well, she must have really trusted you to do that. When did you first get involved with the Arcadia and the Lamplighters?
The Arcadian Theatre is still there in Coromel.
And was your wife involved in that too, or is that more something you'd like to do?
No, Betty formed her own choir of ladies' choir, the Wollongong Harmony Chorus. Oh. Yeah. They sang four-part harmony too, so that's when I learnt to harmonise. So I sang top tenor.
So you were both very musical. Had you learnt music earlier in life?
No, I didn't, but Betty did. And later on in life she taught music, didn't she?
And where did your children go to school?
Oh, they went to Corrible High School, didn't they?
Yes, but Mum and Dad were instrumental when Balambi School was built.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, and all the front of it that fronts onto Corley Road was all swamp then. And didn't you organise to have all that filled up with coal wash?
Yes.
To make playing fields? Yeah, they're on the. They formed the first PNC.
Oh, yeah.
And they formed the neighbourhood committee, so I was a president of that for a number of years.
And what sort of things did that group do?
Get the roads fixed, the footpaths done. We were the first street in the district to have curb and guttering done. Because to get into my place, I worked at the steelworks and I bought a second-hand big steel pipe to put in the drain, of the open drains they were. And I put that down in front of my place and filled it over with coal wash, and you could drive into my place, and everybody in the street said, gee, what a good idea that is. So, can you get us some pipes? I said, yeah.
And would you drive to work down to Port Kembla?
I used to go by train, and then when I got my licence, I finished up. My first car was a Willys Whippet, wasn't it? Wooden spokes. I got a little Ford Prefect. And I had a Triumph, wasn't it, a Triumph? A Humber Hawk.
So you liked your cars by the sound of it?
Yes.
Yes, would you take the family for drives in the car, or was it mostly for going to work?
Oh, no, it took you for drives, didn't it? Mm-hmm. I took you up the Blue Mountains once, didn't I? Mm-hmm. The Snowy River, yeah, that's right. Mm-hmm.
And how long did your trade continue, your work as a typewriter mechanic? Did you do that for the whole of your life?
No. Well, tape recorders came in then. And
did you learn how to fix those as well?
Yeah.
Right, so that was quite different to what you'd done before. Was that with the same company?
I worked for Daybell Writer Limited. I worked for another one that sold Remington's. Couple of different countries I work for.
And when did you retire, Robert?
I've never retired.
Oh, okay, that's good.
I still get my memory still working.
You ended up at the working at the steelworks. What were you doing there?
Well, I used to drive taxis for Burgess. And then I got a job at the steelworks. I started off as a lidman at the number one coke ovens. Where is you? You have a big thing and you pull the lid off the top of the oven where they dump the coal in. And then I graduated from being there as a shunter where you pull the points over and you direct the train, and you get your signals and wave with flags. And I did that, and then I became a locomotive driver, steam locomotive driver. I used to drive the trains up to Nebo Mine and back, and then Wonga Willy. So I had to pass a railway exam to get on the main line. Now I've had an interesting life.
Well, that was quite a different job than what you'd done before.
Oh, yes.
Did you enjoy that, driving the trains?
Oh, I did, yes. I still enjoy life. I still think a lot.
That's good. What sort of things do you enjoy now?
I don't do much singing now. I do do a couple of solos.
You said you might like to sing us a song. Would you be willing to sing us a song?
I got married last Friday, my new wife there beside me, a picture of joy, a girl and a boy, side by side. We were glad we were wed then. We got ready for bed then, her teeth and her hair she placed on a chair, side by side. One cork leg to follow, one glass eye so small. She unscrewed her left leg and hanging on a chair by the wall. I stood there broken hearted. Most of my wife had departed, so I slept on that chair. There was more of her there, side by side.
Wonderful. That was so wonderful. And what a fantastic voice you've got.
Oh, thank you.
Yes, very good. Yeah. So is there anything else you'd like to tell us about your life?
I got charged by a rhinoceros in northern India, near the border of Nepal and India. I walked the 10-day walk to Mount Everest Base Camp. I've had lots of interesting times.
And do some of your family still live locally?
Yes, my eldest son Rodney still lives at the end of Aldridge Avenue. It used to be a shop, but now he's turned into a house. Christine lives in Wollongong.
Oh, wonderful. And do you have any grandchildren?
I forget how many. 13, isn't it?
14
grandchildren.
And lots of, he's got greats now.
And you've got great grandchildren.
They're the ones
as well.
I know of. Because I've travelled a lot.
And you've got great grandchildren as well.
Yes.
Well, he must be proud of them.
Mm.
Wonderful.
Yes, one Sarah, was it? You ever heard of the Suzuki method? Dr. Suzuki was a Japanese man, and I'd saved up enough money, and I wrote to him, and I sent my granddaughter to Japan, and she went over there and played for him.
So the musical tradition of your family has continued down to the grandchildren and maybe the great-grandchildren too. Well, it's been wonderful hearing about your life, and I'm sure other people will enjoy hearing about it, and especially what life was like in East Corrimal and about Molly the cow. So thank you so much, Robert, for being willing to talk to us today.
Yeah, it's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.